Hey there, this is Dave Caprita from 94.7 The Wave. Thank you for joining us on our website, 94.7thewave.com. We're in a very special place right now in North Hollywood at the beautiful Theater 68 studio, where for the past year, Theater 68 has been the home base for an amazing one-man performance. It's called I'm Not a Comedian, I'm Lenny Bruce, and the man starring in it is sitting opposite me right now, Ronnie Marmo. Good to have you, Ronnie.
Hey, Dave. Thank you, Pop.
I guess I should say good for you to have me, because we're in your space instead of in the Wave Studios.
It's good to be had. It's in good. Both directions.
Exactly. Well, I remember when I first met you, you had told me that you were working on something that was dear to your heart that you had performed, I guess, years before about Lenny Bruce. And here we are several years later. You've been working on it with the one and only Joe Mantegna.
He directed it, but also helped me shape the final version of the script. So he was a big, important player when we met. Joe's been a mentor for me for the last 15 years. Really look up to Joe. He's one of the great guys in Hollywood and a crazy talent. So I had brought this script to him, Joe, probably every year for the last 5 years and said, hey, Joe, I think this is the year I want to do it. And so Joe would say, read it for me. And I'd say, what do you mean? Just stand up and read it. He'd make me read it right in front of him. I'd say, okay. So I'd read the play. And he'd say, how about this, that? And he'd go, we'll find time to do it. Well, this went on for years. We never found the time. And then finally, about a year ago, I said, Joe, this is the year. I'm ready. I feel like the script is 90% ready, but I'd love your thoughts. I read it for him. And he said, if you can wait till, you know, for my Criminal Minds hiatus, I'm in. So I said, of course, Joe. So everything just fell in place, and Joe had some great ideas, which now that you've seen the show, I could tell you what his influence was in terms of script doctor. But he did a beautiful job taking it like the final 10 yards.
It was so symphonic what you did, and I was just assuming that his influence made it more, for lack of a better term, poetic. Your movements on stage, the music in the background, which is a fabulous jazz score that along with it. Was that his idea?
What happened was, no, we were using like the great John Coltrane and all these wonderful artists that we can't really use when we take it to New York. I know a composer named Nomad, wonderful composer. He and I spoke and we thought, well, what if we got some jazz players in a studio and what can we do and really make our own score? Well, he composed the beautiful score that you heard. That was literally 3 weeks ago.
And it's so timely, too. Here we are in the 21st century and it sounds like something out of the late 50s,
well,
early 60s.
Thank you. He's going to love hearing that because he worked so hard. He brought six players into a studio and we created our own score. We ran the show for 11 months. We closed May 13th, Mother's Day. So we've been closed for 3 months. We reopened last weekend.
In preparation for the off-Broadway.
For New York. So we restaged everything. I added two new bits. But the big component, one of the biggest components was the score. We just added our own music. So what you heard, I'm still getting used to on stage. But I'm really, I feel like it took it to a whole nother level. And Joe, in terms of staging, he had a big influence on me. But one of the best things he did was just kind of let it unfold. You know, it really was on the page. His big thing is if it's not on a page, it's not on the stage. You know, the big compliment I get from a lot of people, and I owe a lot of it to Joe, is that they feel like there's more than one person on stage. It's like really filling the stage as one person, and Joe had a lot to do with that. So his influence was great, but in many ways, even his calmness, he just lent a very gentle hand. And it's really fun when you look up to somebody like I look up to Joe, because it's so nice to like feel like I want to do great every day because I admire him. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a very different thing than being, as the artistic director of Theater 68 on both coasts, I tend to be that person for others. So it's really great when someone else is that
to
for
have
me.
A mentor help.
Because I want to do great. I want to be great, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
For Joe, you know what I mean.
What was the research like? Nowadays, you have the internet. I guess you looked at the book archival footages, I don't know, on YouTube. Or what did you do exactly to get into the body of Lenny Bruce?
Well, you'll probably notice I don't do an imitation, but I embody him and his spirit. I listened to everything I could get my hands on. I heard everything. I watched everything. And then at one point, I let it all go. And I figured out who I thought he was in an authentic way. And then I just picked up the script. But I didn't pick up the script first. Mm-hmm. I wanted to really get the guy in my body. And how does he talk? How does he walk? How does he feel? His mannerisms. And of course, that's evolved over time now. But I've done 105 performances of the show you saw, my version. 105 in LA Theater, which is such a blessing. And people keep coming. It's crazy. So that was the research. I read everything. I looked at everything. Kitty Bruce sent me.
Did you read biographies or
everything?
Every biography about
her. Yeah, Kitty Bruce sent me like private letters. And,
wow.
And recordings of her and her dad together that no one's ever heard.
So you got to hear not just him on stage, but what I think is even more important, hearing him off stage talking like a normal person. Yeah.
And that's what's special about our show is that there's a lot of stuff in the show that you won't get if you Google Lenny Bruce. So if you're really a fan or want to learn more about him, you will, because as you notice, a lot of people think, well, Lenny Bruce is the guy who cursed a lot, blah, blah, blah. But he was so much more. I mean, when you see my show, you learn about the man and his love and his life and his downfalls and all that, you know.
A little bit of a spoiler alert in the performance toward the end. Salutes folks who came after Lenny's demise, like George Carlin, Richard Pryor, Chris Rock, even.
Yeah, all those people. Yeah, you know, it's the thing is like Lenny influenced everyone. I mean, the title of my play is I'm Not a Comedian, I'm Lenny Bruce, because he wasn't just a comedian. You know, we wanted to make sure that people under the age of 50 understood that he passed the torch to those guys and many more still today. But he was so much more than that. You know, if you read Pryor and Carlin, you read their books, you read Lenny's books, they always pay so much respect to Lenny and say without Lenny, they don't exist. All the great comedians have seen me do it. Richard Lewis, Paul Reiser, Eric Idle. Mm-hmm. They've all come. And it's been a hell of a thrill for me to have those guys sitting in the house.
You know? To get the input of the people who were affected directly by him.
Well, that's my barometer on how I'm doing. You know, Kitty Bruce, his daughter, those are the guys that I go, okay, we're on to something. You know, if Richard Lewis thinks it's good and Eric Idle and these guys idolize Lenny, and especially Kitty Bruce. So.
A lot of these people, it seemed like there was this huge turnaround from the 60s when Lenny was getting arrested for saying certain words on stage and all. It was just a few years later when people started kicking out the jams on stage doing what he was getting arrested for, right?
Yeah, I mean, he paved the way and then people quickly all kind of pounced on it. I agree. And in some ways, it's sad. I mean, comedy at this point, people could say and do what they want. Almost. I mean, there's some people who've taken it too far recently, as you know. It's like, what's the line? And then who's going to break the line? And then who's going to redefine the line again? You know, even stuff like last year with Kathy Griffin, who's a comic.
Right.
And she did all that stuff about Trump. And remember that big the picture? And it's like, who am I to say whether that's okay or not? What would have Lenny said? Lenny said, well, we keep reinventing the line and then somebody crosses it. So yes, I mean, in some ways today, we've regressed from that time. I mean, I feel like we're still fighting for the same things in a lot of ways.
How's this changed you?
When I first started out, I would read something from Lenny and I go, oh, that's funny. What an interesting, unique point of view. And today I don't know what are his point of views and what is mine anymore. It's kind of all mixed in now. You know, when you first play a role, you hope to put yourself in them. And then when you leave, you hope there's a part of them in you. It's completely mixed now. I don't know who I am, who he is. I'm just like, even if I disagreed with things like the N-word bit and certain things in the show or what Lenny would do in the 60s, I appreciated the fact that he was trying to evoke change. He was trying to do something different and something new and something else. Mm-hmm. And everyone else was scared to speak up and talk about the hypocrisies in the world. And all. I mean, there were other guys like Dick Gregory.
Mort Saul,
Dick Gregory, Red Fox. I mean, these guys were doing blue comedy, whatever you call it. I mean, it was, you know, it was very dark. But Lenny was the one they picked on the most. You know, he was the pioneer and the champion of it all. But they really had a thing for Lenny, and they didn't like him because the thing he got in trouble for, he did this bit called Religions Incorporated. There was not a curse in it. It wasn't obscene. But some Catholic cops in Chicago were offended, and they arrested him. He got arrested in this country for saying schmuck in the 60s. Schmuck. Again, where's the line? And then who crosses it? And then we redefine the line.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where we're at as a country, especially now with what's going on in our government. And this is so timely, this show. And we need Lenny so badly right now.
Exactly. Isn't that strange how art resonates 50 years later?
It's almost more valid now. People are willing to listen and really be open to what he has to say. And gosh, he is so important.
How many more performances here in North Hollywood, and then you're headed to the Big Apple off-Broadway?
Yeah, so we're doing two more weeks here. I'm going to be wrapping up, I believe, September 15th. We have another commitment in the theater that I can't do the show on the weekends after September 15th, but I don't leave for New York until October 8th. You never know, there might be some random Wednesdays that I can't help myself. So I would really encourage people to check theater68.com.
Theater68.com, and you can purchase tickets there as well.
Yeah, there. And then we're heading to New York. We're going to do an open-ended off-Broadway run. We decided to do it at a non-traditional theater. We're doing it at this wonderful place called The Cutting Room. It's a music venue. It's on 32nd and Park. And when you walk through the door at The Cutting Room, the whole building, the whole vibe is Lenny Bruce. So it's like, it's the only place I would ever go that I don't have to build a set. The whole place is the set. And it's a music venue, but we did one performance there 3 months ago to see if it would work. And 220 people came. Stevie Van Zandt came, all kinds of crazy people. It was magic. And so we said, this is the place to do it. And to do it in a non-traditional theater kind of feels cool too. And we really feel like it's a New York show. LA has received it so beautifully. And if this is the case, we're hoping that New York takes it the rest of the way.
And what is the rest of the way?
After the New York run, I'd like to tour it. I'm thinking colleges. Mm-hmm. I think college kids would get a lot out of this show. And then we'll see. You know, I know they made a movie over 40 years ago with Hoffman. Joe and I have been talking about we're ready to make the film as well. It's so crazy how, like, I've been very blessed in my career and I've done okay for myself. But this is the one that keeps sticking with me, you know. It's this story. It's this man. It's mm-hmm. it's all of this that feels like I'm not done telling it. I've done 105 performances and I'm just getting started. Like 10 years from now, if I'm still doing this, Dave, as my friend, I would like you to say, Ronnie, you might want to hang it up. Go do something else. You're starting to be that guy who's doing plenty too much. But for now, I feel like I'm just getting started. Joe said to me, he goes, this is the one they're going to mention in your obituary. This is that. You know, Ronnie Marmo, he did okay for himself. He did this, that, and the other thing. And he played Lenny Bruce.
Yeah.
If that's my story, I'm very proud to have that story because, Dave, you saw it. You probably get how much I love the man in the performance. And Kitty Bruce said, in 50 years of anyone playing her father or any production about her father on any level, this is what she's most proudest of.
It's wonderful.
And that's his only daughter. And to me, she's my biggest critic.
Is Joe Mantegna, has he pretty much put this together and formed it with you? And then he was like, I'm on my way. Good luck.
He saw it last weekend. The guy keeps coming back. He loves it. In fact, to tell you how inspired Joe is, and Joe's a big star and a smart man. He doesn't need to do this. He's so inspired. Last week, he changed two scenes around. After the night after you saw it, he flip-flopped two major scenes. So this whole weekend that just passed, I had to relearn the order of doing things. Joe goes, you know I've seen this 103 times. I think we should switch these two scenes.
Wow.
I said, okay, Joe. So he's all in. He'll come to New York. He'll help me open it as best he can. He's in for life. I mean, Joe, I'll be holding on to his leg if he ever wants to leave this project. You know what I mean?
Once again, theater68.com. Keep an eye on it for future performances until it heads to New York. And once again, off-Broadway at?
The Cutting Room, 32nd and Park. And there'll be information on theater68.com. But also, we'll be opening a new website called LennyBruceOnStage.com. That's not live yet, but that's coming. So,
Ronnie Marmo, performance of a lifetime.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks for joining us at 947thewave.com.
You're awesome.